Ryan found it difficult to get any more rest during the remaining few hours of night. The memory of Carell's gaunt, unblinking stare haunted him. The Hellbender's leader at this point was reining in all his rage, all the hatred that drove him on. The problem was, if he kept doing this, then there would inevitably come a point when it would explode. And the likelihood was that the explosion would come when they mounted the attack on the twin convoys. Danny had pointed this out to Dean, but it was something of which the rest of the companions had already been aware. But Ryan felt, as the leader of the group, that there was little he could do to avoid confrontation over this matter. Their only alternative was to go to the Matrans and jump. But if they did that, they would have to fight their way past Carell's people, in all likelihood, and Ryan was looking for a situation with better odds of survival. He hoped that the chemstorm would abate, so that the convoy rendezvous could go ahead and the attack could proceed. At least they could cover their own backs out on the field with a wag of their own, no matter what may happen to Carell and the Hellbenders. And still, the CD-ROM they had been carrying for a while needed to be decoded. From what Dean had described, the stash of old tech that Baron Al Jorgensen was holding could actually contain the key to unlocking the CD and perhaps tell them all they wanted to know. Ryan had a bad feeling in his gut. So many uncontrollable elements, so many variables. And at the head of it all, a man who was becoming more and more unstable. So it was that when Travis poked his head around the door of their berth a few hours later and briefly informed them that the hour had come to rise and prepare, Ryan had rested little and was in the middle of a shallow, nightmare-filled sleep. When the rest of the companions had risen and Ryan was on his feet, Mildred took one look at him and nodded.
You too, eh? Can't say I was able to get much rest thinking about Papa Joe's team talk coming up. I'd be much happier if we could play this our own way.
Mildred was aware that Ryan had discussed battle plans with Carell, but she knew Carell's own agenda would take precedent. When Ryan told them of the chemstorm, JB shook his head, pushing his spectacles onto the bridge of his nose.
It would have to stop right now for us to get out there, and there'll still be enough rad interference in the atmosphere to make radio communication impossible right now. If it's over, we'll have to assume they're going ahead.
Yeah, that's how I see it. But how's Carell going to read it?
I think we'll go ahead.
Christy's hair was waving slightly, as though caressed by a breeze that didn't exist. Her muti sense was telling her that there was a dangerous situation ahead.
I can't see Carell stopping now, not after waiting so long. This is the culmination of all his dreams. He's not going to throw this away unless it's totally impassable out there.
Travis reappeared to summon them to eat. They left their berth in grim silence. The entire community was gathered in the large makeshift cafeteria. The Hellbenders ate heartily, readying themselves for the confrontation that lay ahead. They were acting as though the chemstorm had abated. Carell was in his usual position, flanked by Jenny and Lonnie, who seemed to have established himself as second in command. On seeing the companions enter, Carell beckoned to Ryan and JB to join him. While the others had been engaged either in training or in the rec mission, JB had forged a good working relationship with Jenny, who now acknowledged him with a smile. Despite her initial misgivings and hostility, she was now sure that JB was invaluable. He had helped her to maintain and repair some of the weapons that had been damaged during training, and had also given her invaluable advice about the best times to use concussion and shrapnel grenades in enclosed environments. She had learned from him, and her respect for the man had grown. Ryan and JB collected their food and joined the table, while the other companions found spaces around the room. Dean, Jack, and Doc joined Danny, who, as usual, sat a little apart from the rest of the group.
Heard about the chem storm?
Yeah.
I figured that Papa Joe would send us out whatever the conditions, way he feels about things. But the good news is that it stopped out there. At least we wouldn't have to fight our way through a shitload of acid rain.
Not good conditions, though.
This sentiment was being echoed around the table where Mildred and Christy were having breakfast. At Rudy's request, they had joined the table where he sat with Kath and Cy, among others. Mildred regretted it almost as soon as she had sat down, as he put his arm around her to settle her in, and the glare she received from Kath was the last thing they needed at this stage. She could not afford to make enemies.
You ready for some action, Mildred?
You'd better be.
I'm sorry, Kath. Am I supposed to be afraid of you?
You bet you're...
We're all ready, aren't we?
I'm always ready for some action.
Rudy!
I'd like to say I am, but I don't know.
Just take it easy and pick your shots. The worst thing you could do is get carried away and end up opening up that wound. Then you'll be good to no one except the other side.